Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves at the top of Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. That's 26A. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We actually just have the last word at the bottom of the previous Daf, which is Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught. Now we're at the very top of 26A. And we are returning now for the next daf or so to the topic of kriya, of tearing one's clothes. And in particular here, we're talking about after one has torn one's clothes, may you fix them, may you repair them, and when. So this particular Mishnah says, and it's being quoted from Masachet Smachot, which is the tractate. It's actually a post-Talmudic collection of Braitot that talks all about mourning, and it says like this: Ve'elu kara'in she'ein mitachin. These are the tears in one's clothing that may not be repaired. Now, there's two kinds of repair. There is lishlol, which we talked about a few recordings ago, which is just to repair temporarily with a ladder stitch, and it's a rough repair. It doesn't look nice. And the second kind of repair is ichui, which is this kind of repair, which is when you repair it from the inside so that the stitching matches pretty nicely, and it's a full repair. So these particular tearings cannot be repaired fully ever. And the Braita here, or the Mishnah here, is going to refer to 10 examples of situations in which you have to tear your clothes and you cannot repair them ever. Here we go. Hakore al avi v'al imo. If one tears for his father or his mother, his parents, he may never repair it. V'al rabo shelimdo Torah, and on his teacher who teaches him Torah. And there is a machloket in another Gemara, I think it's in Sanhedrin, about what kind of Rav this refers to. Is it his Rebbe Mufak, his main Rebbe that he asks all his shilas to and learn most of his Torah from, or is it any Rav who taught him any Torah? The Al Nasi, and on the head of the Jewish community, the Al Av Beitin, and the head of the Sanhedrin, the Al Shmuot Haraot, and on very evil tidings, which the Gemara will explain what they are below, the Al Birkat Hashem, and on hearing the name of God cursed by someone. There's Machloket, as Tosfot points out, as to whether or not this applies to Jews or to non-Jews. It certainly applies to Jews. Some say it doesn't apply to non-Jews. The Al Sefer Torah Shenisraf, for a Torah scroll that is burned. The Al Arei Yehuda, for the cities of Judah in their destruction. The Al HaMikdash, and on the temple in its destruction. The Al Yerushalayim, and on Jerusalem in its destruction. Those are the 10 examples of tearing that have to be torn and can never be repaired. And then the Mishnah adds at the end, V'kora al Mikdash, and if you tear for the temple, for the Mikdash, Mosif al Yerushalayim, and then you can tear again and add on to the tear for Yerushalayim. So now we're going to analyze the contents of what we just read. Aviv imo v'rabo shelimdo Torah minalan. How do you know that his father and his mother and his rabbi, that you can never repair the tear that you make in your clothes? So we are going to quote a verse from Melachim Bet, chapter Bet, which is the story when Eliyahu doesn't die, but he is born up to heaven in a flaming chariot, and Elisha, who is his student, sees him taken up, and it says, Ve'elisha ro'eh, Elisha saw, v'hu metza'ek, and he cried out, Avi, Avi, my father, my father. He was referred to Eliyahu as his father. He wasn't biologically his father, but he felt that kind of kinship with him. Rechav Yisrael, he is the chariot of Israel. That is, he is responsible for Israel. He's a leader of Israel. Uparashav, horsemen. Velo ra'ahu od, and then Elisha no longer saw Eliyahu again. Vayechazek bivgadav, he grabbed a hold of his clothes. Vayikra'em lishnayim kra'im, and he tore them into two tears. So that's the whole pasuk. Here it only quotes part of it. It says that he cried out Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael Uparashav. So the Gemara says Avi Avi Ze Avi Ve'imo. When he said Avi and Avi, one is for his father and one is for his mother, even though he said Av twice. Rechav Yisrael Uparashav Ze Rabbo. When he said he called him the chariot and the horseman, that is referring to him being his rabbi, Shalim Do Torah, who taught him Torah. My mashma, how? What does this come to imply? Kidimitargim Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef translated this verse into Aramaic, how he translated it was Rebbe Rebbe, instead of Avi Avi, referring to father and mother, he said Rebbe Rebbe, my teacher. Detavlahon Yisrael Bitzlote, who did more good for the Jewish people with his prayers, may retichin uparashin, than chariots and horsemen. So he wasn't actually, according to the Targum, he wasn't calling him a chariot and a horseman of the Jewish people, but he was saying that his prayers did more than any army. The reason why we have the second interpretation, meaning the first interpretation of the Gemara, covered all three of the topics that we wanted to cover, Av, Aim, and Rav. However, the Gemara was bothered by its question, my mashma, that the fact that they called Elisha the chariot of Israel and his horsemen didn't really seem to indicate that it had anything to do with teaching. So instead, Rabbi Yosef understood the first part of the verse to be about his being his Rebbe, and the second part to be about him being a person who davened to Hashem. Of course, according to Rabbi Yosef, this pasuk doesn't come to teach us a source for one's father and mother, but there is another source mentioned in the Gemara for that, so perhaps you could use that instead. But the Gemara still hasn't explained how you know that you cannot repair the garments. Velomit achim minalan. What is the source that you cannot repair them? Dichtiv, as it is written, here in the verse, as we read, it says he grabbed a hold of his clothes and he tore them into two tears. Mimashma shenemar vayikra'im, it is implied when it says that he tore them. Eini yodea, do I not know, shalishnaim, that he tore them in two, meaning that he created, that's the whole idea of tearing something, is that you create two flaps. Ela melamed shekruim veomdim lishnayim leolam. It comes to teach us that he tore them and they remained two forever. So when it says lishnayim kraim, it means that they remained as shnayim kraim forevermore. It's not completely obvious in this case. The language is obviously additional or not 100% necessary, but that it means that is not 100% clear. And that is also obvious because we use the same verse a couple of dapim ago on Chaf Bet Amud Bet. We learn the exact same verse to teach the halacha that kol kriya she'enu mavdil kame safa shelo enu ela kara shel tiflut, that the tear has to be on the hem. It has to actually tear some part of the hem. And we use the exact same verse, and they said that it's mashma shenir im kruim kishnayim, that it has to be torn enough that it looks like it is torn in two, even if it's not actually torn in two. So there are two drushas, at least, related to this verse, in particular for those extra words. Okay, continuing on in the story, Amar le Rish Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, Eliyahu chayhu. But why would he tear kriya for Eliyahu when Eliyahu actually didn't die? He was taken up to heaven. It's a good question. Amar le, kevan dichtiv, so he responded to him, since it's written in the verse, velo ra'ahu od, he never saw him again, legabe di de kemetame. For him, it was as if he was dead, because he was taken up to heaven, so even though he wasn't actually dead, from the perspective of Elisha, it was as if he were dead. Which is an interesting agada comment. I don't know if it can ever be applied in any halachic manner to someone who seems to be dead, but is not actually dead, like someone who was in a coma or something. But we don't tear kriya for such a person. But based on this, they would create some kind of precedent that if a person were, quote unquote, taken up to heaven, even if they were not dead, if you'd never be able to see them again, you could consider them to be dead. Perhaps it is just an agadic teaching. The second part of the Mishnah goes on. Nasi ve'av beit din ushmuot haraot. You also tear for the Nasi, for the head of the Sanhedrin, and for evil tidings. Minalan, what's the source? Dichtiv. Now we have a different source for tearing one's clothes. And this source is from Shmuel Bet, chapter 1. And this is right when Shaul and Yonatan are killed in battle. When David hears about it, he writes, "Vayichazik David bivgadav vayikra'em." And David grabbed a hold of his clothes and he tore them. Vigam kol ha'anashim asher ito, and all the men that were with him also tore their clothes. Vayispidu, and they eulogized them. Vayivku, and they cried. Vayatsumu ad ha'erev, and they fasted until evening. We learned this verse earlier as well on a number of levels. We learned that Vayichazek David teaches that the minimum shear of kriya is a tefach. And we learned also from Vayatsumu ad ha'erev, that the fact that they fasted, which was not required by halacha, is that some things that were done in Tanakh are required by halacha, and some were done as an extra measure, a personal measure of grief, but were not required by the law. And that was one of them, because mourners do not fast. And then the verse continues, Al Shaul, they were mourning Shaul, v'al Yohonatan beno, and Jonathan his son, v'al Am Hashem, and the people of Hashem who were killed in this battle. Many Jews were killed in this battle. V'al Beit Yisrael, and on the house of Israel, ki naflu becharev, who fell by the sword. That's the whole verse. So the Gemara interprets, I'm at the end of the first wider line. It's actually the one medium wide line. Shaul ze nasi. Shaul, in this case, counts as the nasi. Yehonatan ze av beitin. Yehonatan counts as the av beitin, the head of the beitin of the Sanhedrin. Al am Hashem v'al beit Yisrael, the people of God and the house of Israel, elu shmuot ro'ot. That counts as evil tidings. In other words, the evil tidings are the evil tidings of lots of Jews being killed. Amar le Rav bar Shiva le Rav Kahana, ve'ema ad tahavi kulhu. Perhaps you wouldn't tear your clothes and then, based on the context here, not be able to repair them unless all three things happened. If you heard about the Nasi and the Beit Av and Shmuel Ra'ot all at once, then you would tear your clothes and never be able to heal them again, because that's the story that happened to David. So perhaps all three of them need to happen before you can activate the halacha. Amar le, so he said to him, no, Al hifsik hainyan. The word al interrupts the matter. So in the verse, what we'll see is that it says al Shaul, they mourned al Shaul, and then it says al Yehonatan bino, on Yehonatan bino, vi al am Hashem. So each al is mafsik, shows that it stands alone, that each one of them is sufficient for this, for the kriya to happen by itself. But the Gemara goes on and says, but how do we really know that you're supposed to tear for evil tidings? The Ha Amru Le Shmuel, we have a report that when Shmuel was told the following terrible news, he heard Katal Shevor Malka, he heard that Shapur the king killed Tresar Alfe Yehudai B'Mezigat Kesari, he killed 12,000 Jews in the outpost of Caesarea, which was kind of like a little fortress that was outside of Caesarea. Vilokara, he didn't tear his clothes. Now, Shapur was a Persian king, and usually was quite friendly to the Jews, which we'll get back to in a second. But in this case, he slaughtered the inhabitants of Mezigat Kesari, this fortress of near Kesari. And when Shmuel heard about it, he didn't tear his clothes. And that would seem to be Shmuel Ra'ot, where many Jews died. So the Gemara answers, Lo Amru Ela Barov Tzibor. They only say this, that it counts as Shmuel Ra'ot, if it is the majority of a community. So does this mean the majority of a community of the Jewish people, or perhaps the majority of a community of a certain area? So even though these people were killed in Mezigat Kesari, perhaps you're also including all the Jews of Kesari, and it wasn't the Rove, because it does sound like quite a lot of people, but I guess it wasn't up to Rove. Uchemaase shahaya, and this is like the maase that it was. In other words, in the case of David, the Jewish people, Shaul and Yehonatan, and the Jewish army were defeated very, very badly, and the majority of the people, the majority of the soldiers were killed. So it has to be a majority in order for it to count as Shmuot Ra'ot. So in our current circumstances, when this would apply is an interesting question. It would require really a catastrophe of tremendous proportions in order for us to apparently to tear Kriya all around the world for this to happen, thank God. Anyway, Umikatal Shavur Malka Yehudai, and do we know that Shapur the king killed Jews? V'ha Amar Le Shapur Malka L'Shmuel, we have a story in which Shavur spoke to Shmuel, and he said, Tetili, give me my reward, Delo Katle Yehudim Olam, that I never killed any Jews ever, that I never killed the Jews. In other words, Shapur had a very friendly relationship with the Jewish people, and he didn't want to kill Jews, he was friendly to them. So the answer, this was a different story. It's true that he never killed any other Jews except for in this situation. In this situation, Hatam, there, and I am at the end of the fourth wide line down. Hatam, there, inhu garmi l'nafshayhu. They caused it to themselves. Meaning, I mean, we're blaming the victims here, but it was their own fault that Shapur killed them. Shapur didn't want to kill them, but they gave him no choice. To Amar Rabbi Ami, as Rabbi Ami said, Lekal Yatiri, the sound of the instruments, the strings, the Mezigat Kesari, of the fortress of Kesari, Pakashura de Ludka, they were so loud that they shook the walls of Ludkia, which was a town in Asia Minor that was not super far away, but not close to Kesaria. In other words, it traveled quite a distance. The sounds of these instruments were the sounds of the instruments that they played when they announced their defiance against King Shapur. In other words, they rebelled against him and they struck up the marching band and announced their intentions that they were going to take on King Shapur and rebel against him. So once they announced it so stridently and they, you know, armed against him, he had no choice but to fight them and take them down. So interestingly, in this situation, the Gemara seems to take the side of the Persian king over the Jewish inhabitants of Mezigat Kesari. And maybe perhaps for that reason also, Shmuel didn't consider it to be the Shmuel Ra'ot because they weren't innocent victims. They caused their own death, and apparently they caused their own death in an independent way, meaning it wasn't as if they were rising up against Shapur with all the other Jews. It wasn't a Jewish people thing. It was just an independent rebellion. Okay, actually, we're going to stop there and we'll continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.